The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. We the last few weeks we've been getting into a lot of discussion about the disruption and that millennials will take. We've been talking a lot about new constructs in terms of payments and we had a great session with Matthias Kroner from Fido the other day talking about progressive KYC. Sometimes when we look at these things, we're talking about a lot bigger impact, big markets, looking at branch infrastructure changes, behavioral shifts in the millennials and Gen Y space. But there's some very tactical tools we need to start looking at in terms of leveraging this new behavior and remaining relevant. So I thought that would be a great way to sort of kick off the session this week with you guys. So we're very fortunate to have with us someone who is both on the research front end and also a tactician, if you like, someone who's actually in the market trying to do some interesting things with video and other things. And that's James Robert Lay from CU Grow. Welcome to Breaking Banks this week, James.
Thanks for having me on the line, Brett. Glad to be here.
Now, you guys do a ton of research. You do a lot of case study stuff, but you're also constantly talking about, particularly in the credit union space in the United States, some of the things that are impacting CUs. Maybe you sort of kick this off. Tell me how CU Grow came to be, and on the other side of it, what is it that credit unions that you're talking to, what keeps them up at night?
Yeah, well, long story short on the CU Grow front is we started back in 2002 in the digital space, and we started producing video right around that time for online, before YouTube was even around. We saw there was a big opportunity for brands to begin to humanize themselves through the use of video. And working with credit unions over the past 12, 13 years, we've seen this evolution within the credit union space to try to humanize their brands through these digital channels using something that we call story selling. Right. And it's really a seven-step process that we focus on. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the how, and ultimately how to tell that story. So that's what we do. It's how we do it in a very brief sense. My take on where credit unions are and what keeps them up at night in the United States is there's this very slow adoption into the digital space. A lot of credit union business lead generation models have been built around broadcast and built around branches.
Right. It's like that sales funnel, isn't it? It's typical. We're in your community. We're going to advertise in your community. We'll have our billboard up. We'll have our newspaper ads. For a big CU, we might have our TV commercials. And then you'll remember that we're an excellent financial services partner for you when you need a product, and you'll come to the branch. But broadcast is starting to break down, as is revenue in the branch, particularly. CUs, we see this shift to, we see a lot older customers still using credit unions, but not a lot of the younger customers coming in. So how's the funnel going to change, do you think?
Well, we look at the let's say, call it the old sales funnel versus the new sales funnel. And that new sales funnel is really seven different levels, from targeting to capturing to nurturing to converting to onboarding to cross-selling. And then ultimately, I think the sweet spot, particularly for credit unions, is the last step of the sales funnel, and that's referring. That's turning a member, an account holder, into a marketing channel, which can then directly drive leads back to the top of that sales funnel for that credit union. It's an untapped gold mine, the idea of referrals, and more particularly digital referrals, baking those referrals into the digital experience, into the digital channels. You're right about this idea of changing consumer behavior, particularly within a younger Gen Y demographic, when the average credit union member is around 48 years old. Credit unions are wanting to drive that average age down.
It's got older in the last 10 years, hasn't it?
It really has. And as credit unions continue to bring on new digital tools, new digital technologies, and consumer behavior continues to evolve and change, let's talk within this past year, remote deposit capture, RDC, has been a big implementation at many credit unions. But as you're very well aware of, as remote deposit capture is introduced, branch traffic will continue to decline even further. Where the sales opportunity is going to happen, and that's within the digital channels. A big area of research that we like to spend a lot of time is from Google's zero moment of truth. Google is finding that the average consumer takes 30 to 45 days, if not longer, to make a purchase decision when opening a new account or applying for an account. And during that time period, they're using 8 or more resources to help them in their decision-making process.
So in terms of those resources and referrals, it's interesting because when we think of like the private banking or the high net worth space, actually, you know, the referral element has been pretty critical from a revenue perspective to that high end of the business. So now we're starting to see that in the community space, where it's been a little bit more passive, it's now becoming a real influencer, this sort of referral mechanism through the community, because it's shifted from being about the community as a place to the community as sort of this, you know, this amorphous thing, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And we're seeing the neobanks, for example, and a lot of digital players baking in this digital referral component into their digital story.
Yeah.
Uber, for example, I was in San Francisco speaking at the America's Credit Union Conference. I think they had over 1,100 people there. And I took an Uber out to the event. And as soon as I was through, it asked me to refer my friends to Uber. So we're seeing this even with outside of the financial services space, this idea of digital referrals playing a huge role in the digital story and digital lead generation.
So when you're asked to come in and help, you know, CUs across the U.S., where do you start with this? You know, is it a skill set issue? Do you think they just need to start, you know, asking members for referrals? Tell me about the video component as well.
Yeah, so it's really four different levels that we look at from an assessment standpoint, starting internally. Vision, the goals, KPIs, and staff. And it might be a skill set level internally. It might be a vision issue internally. From a lot of the findings that we have when doing digital assessments, digital marketing assessments, it's easy for credit unions to invest in physical infrastructure, the branch. They can see that asset. They can touch it. They can even sell it if they have to.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about intangible assets like digital, there might be some fears and concerns around that. We look at the technology platforms. What digital marketing technologies do they have? Do they not have? Or if they have, what are they underutilizing? We move up to the next level of this digital storytelling system, and that's of three different elements, of segments, of journey, and of product. When we talk about segments, I can speak very much about the credit union space, as many credit unions try to be all things to all people. So they haven't really defined key select market segments. And I find that to be a concern in the digital space. We look at the idea of journey, and many credit unions have not mapped out what the buying journey looks like or what the buying journey experience they want a consumer to have as they move from intent to conversion and beyond. And then the last element of this level in the system is that of product. How are they positioning their products in a digital economy? Are they just simply listing out the commoditized features that other financial institutions provide? Or are they doing something different? And this is where the video component can really play a big role, and that is of telling a digital story, utilizing the ways and sharing the stories of their members, of their account holders, of how they've helped them overcome some kind of hard situation, maybe get them into a home, maybe helps them start a business, utilize those stories as part of human content, and then use digital channels to distribute that content throughout different areas as needed to other consumers.
So who makes a good storyteller in this space? What are the skills that we should be looking to try and incubate or try and develop?
Well, you're going to hear a little bit of repeat here. What makes a good story is seven different elements. It really starts with the who. Who is going to be the hero of this story? When we look at basic storytelling archetypes, there's only a set number of ways you can tell a story. And this is true to the very first story known to man, which is Gilgamesh.
Right.
We look at, from that point, is what's the solution? So the hero is going to have a problem, and that hero is going to be a member or a consumer, an account holder. What's the solution is then how do we help that hero overcome as the bank or the credit union overcome that challenge? From that point, when do they need help in this hero's journey? What are the common questions that the hero might have along the way? And so at this point, the bank or the credit union becomes the guide, the Obi-Wan Kenobi, per se, in the hero's story. And I think a lot of times...
We had to bring Star Wars in at some point.
We really did. And yeah. I think a lot of credit unions and banks try to position themselves as the hero, but for the banks and credit unions who can take the role of the guide in the story, and that's a very, very powerful thing. Then we look at where along this journey will they be helped. Why should the hero trust the bank or credit union? This is where the idea of using other stories to help position the bank or credit union as a guided expert in financial matters, and not just a financial commodity is going to be very key and beneficial. How will you guide them to success? And then ultimately, once you have the story documented, tell that story through digital, through word of mouth. Because if you have these great stories, but you never tell them, it's not going to do any good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you often talk about in the stuff you write about, and I noticed you were at an event recently where you're talking about disruption and Starbucks. You know, you talk about really this element of trust being very important, but it's in some ways it may be even more tangible these days. But this shift that's occurring. Who is coming in? I've sort of answered the question talking about Starbucks, but how is someone like Starbucks or Uber using this storytelling in much more effective ways than the sort of the traditional funnel approach that we've had? You gave the example of Uber sharing, but how has Starbucks been able to be so effective in the mobile payment space with storytelling?
Well, we look at Starbucks, but I think one, that particular video that just comes to mind when they came to market was that of Coin, kind of in the payment space. They identified the problem, a problem that many consumers could relate to, of having all of these different cards within a wallet. They provided a simplified solution to a common problem, to that pain point. So we look at that as, okay, here's the problem. Here's our solution. It's not complicated. And then this is what your life could look like envisioning with this particular solution. So it's about simplicity. It's about, as you say a lot, reducing or removing the friction.
Right. So despite the fact that, are you bullish on Coin?
I'm sorry?
Are you bullish on Coin?
I say no. It's kind of funny. You have this other piece of hardware now, so it's kind of complicated the process for a consumer to when they could even bypass that, and you just look at mobile payments on a mobile device.
Yeah. But they certainly did get the story right, which is, you know, they I mean, in this, I forget what it was. Was it Google Wallet was announcing their new wallet, or someone was competing with them at the same time that Coin came out, and Coin just, you know, from a storytelling perspective, just, you know, obliterated them, got a lot of share of, you know, mind share when they launched, despite the fact that I don't think it's a, you know, the storytelling aspect, they certainly got that right.
I think they hit the nail on the head with the storytelling. The technology or the hardware, it might be antiquated by the time, you know, it fully comes to market.
I have no idea how they would be AMV compliant with the hardware as well. So, you know, that could be, I mean, they could come up with a new version of the hardware, of course. But given they haven't even launched yet, I think it's looking a bit shaky.
But I think it proves a point, though. You can have an average product and have an amazing story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still sell.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So what is what do you do at CU Grow? Tell me a bit more about this organization.
So CU Grow, we help banks, we help credit unions use digital marketing to tell stories that sell. And there's different components within that. And it's talking using some of the tools and the tactics that we talked about earlier. But at the end of the day, we want to help banks. We want to help credit unions grow using digital.
Great. Listen, James, Robert, Joe, let's just take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll ask Rich Jones to join us, who's waiting on the line right now. You're listening to Breaking Banks. We're talking storytelling and how to engage fans and the community for referral and the creation of the new sales funnel. And we'll be right back after this quick break.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Attend Payments 2014 to meet the forward-thinking leaders and disruptors who are transforming how we pay and get paid. Get a glimpse into the next wave of payments innovations and challenges through fast-paced interactive demonstrations, educational sessions, and a buzzing exhibit hall. Register now at payments.nacha.org. Payments 2014 is presented by NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, the recognized leader in payment system education, the Payments Conference. Transform imagination into strategic innovation. Register today at payments.nacha.org.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. We had before the break James Robert Lay from CU Grow talking about the art of storytelling and how that's really critical in terms of lead generation, the creation of community through referral and other elements like this. We cited some good examples of that and talked about some of the skill sets and the path to that. Now, at this point, I'd like to invite Rich Jones to join the discussion. Rich is with Eli Lilly Federal Credit Union. Rich, you're based in Indianapolis. I understand.
That is correct. And Eli Lilly Federal Credit Union is a billion-dollar asset-sized credit union, and we've done that with about 60,000 members, which if you're familiar with the space, you know that usually to get to $1 billion, you have to have close to 100,000 members. So we have a very highly engaged membership, and we also have a national footprint, which means we have members in 40 countries and all 50 states. So digital delivery of our products and services is absolutely critical to our future success.
So tell me about your role. You're SVP of marketing, but you're also involved in biz dev and business intelligence. Tell me about the role that you've got at ELFCU and how that came to be.
Yeah, when I was brought into Eli Lilly Federal Credit Union a little almost 3 years ago, it was to try to marry the three key elements to growing assets and growing membership of the credit union, and that is marketing, business development, and business intelligence. And the reason business intelligence is a critical link to that is because today segmented marketing is absolutely essential. People don't want to have a generalized billboard story. They want to have a story that's delivered to them personally, kind of like James Robert Lay said earlier. You know, marketing has changed from a pushing of products to a storytelling role that results in the pull of product information, where people are asking for more information about the products and services that a company delivers.
Now, how much of a shift are you seeing in respect to revenue generation here? You know, James and I were talking about the fact that, you know, the average age of a credit union member has increased significantly from the mid-30s to 49 last year, which is showing that, you know, the membership is getting older, but we're not engaging younger members coming in at the top of the funnel. So, you know, we're definitely seeing a revenue shift and a segmentation shift here in terms of effectiveness. But tell me about some of the things that you've been able to measure, or the things that you're seeing as a marketer where this behavior is having an effect on the revenue pipeline.
Well, the behavior of the prospective younger members that are coming in are not really being realized in the banking space in general. I mean, they're going to banks and they're making decisions pretty traditionally because that's how their parents taught them. And that is, you know, they look for the brick and mortar. But when you look at the buying habits they have in other segments, in retail segments and so forth, it's really a digital decision. And what we're seeing is that they're doing a lot of research before they make a decision online before they move forward. And James Robert Lay mentioned the fact that it's a 45-day decision process right now for consumers. So they're doing a lot of deep dive. And you look at the basic websites that most financial institutions are presenting, their face for that digital consumer, it's pretty bad. I mean, it's I call it a product puke, basically. And what we're trying to do, and where we see the opportunity being in the future, is how do you bring those stories that James Robert Lay was talking about, how do you bring those to the front of your website? So it's not just about, you know, we have a 1.99 auto loan. It's more about how can we help that member or that prospecting member finish their journey. They're starting a journey because they're doing research. How do we help them finish that journey? And so there's an opportunity around the entire space for us to do in the banking sector a much better job in helping consumers through that buying journey.
Now, you mentioned earlier this second generational issue where you've got parents who are already members, are saying to their kids, you should bank where I bank at my local CU. Is that what it's come down to in terms of dependence on new customers, that we're sort of dependent on parents educating their kids that a CU is better? Or is there going to be more effective mechanisms at getting that sort of engagement of the millennials and Gen X, who, you know, by all accounts will represent about half the CU potential market by the end of the decade?
No, I think that the model has to change. I think a lot of the millennials are seeing that their parents haven't been very successful in their money management habits for a great part. And they're realizing they may not be the best Obi-Wan Kenobi, to refer to that reference earlier, in their personal guide. And so what they're relying on much more heavily is on peer influence in making those decisions. So one of the things that we've tried to do with our website is by bringing those stories through blogs to the front page of our website. We call it Life Lessons. so that those stories can start to be floated out, and other people, other members or prospective members, consumers in general, can begin to comment on those stories and how those life journeys are taking place and those buying journeys are taking place, so that they can become advocates. I think that was a really strong point that James Robert Lay made, that we've got to turn the next faucet of marketing on, and that's to create advocacy amongst our users and to create that referral resource, because that's how that the younger generation are making a lot of buying decisions today, is through peer influencers.
So when you look, say, 5 to 10 years out, how do you see revenue coming into the credit union, and where does the branch fit into that? Obviously, the branch is going to survive in some form, but in terms of that mix of revenue and relationship, where do you see the mix of revenue between digital and sort of the traditional approach?
I think that. Yeah, I'm not so sure branches ultimately in the long term, if you're looking 5 to 10 years out, I'm not so sure branches will survive, because I don't think it's going to become necessary. But there's going to have to be a very significant shift, cultural shift and operational shift for banks and credit unions to actually move away from that brick and mortar facility. What the consumer,
This is a big mind shift.
Especially the millennials. When they go online to buy something, it's got to be easy. It cannot, and you know, we have compliance, we have regulation, we've got underwriting, we've got risk management, you know, all these things that we put in front of the member that are seen by that member, that prospect, as friction. You know, it's stuff they don't want to do.
It's just getting me in the way of solving the problem. Yeah, exactly.
How do we minimize that? And right now, I know, even within our own organization, we're asking questions of the consumer on applications for new membership or new accounts or loans that are nice to know but not absolutely need to know. We need to trim down to a basic model of getting what we need to know to make a valid, regulatory compliant decision. And take out anything else that's unnecessary. So there's got to be an operational shift there. But there also has to be a cultural shift. If we're going to position ourselves in the marketplace as being a digital resource, then everybody in the organization has to be digitally savvy. When somebody walks into a branch, they need to be working on the same platform that they would be working on if they were at home. I think we need to abandon the teller platform in general, and just work off of that iPad or that iPhone. It can be a bring-your-own-device type of model where you have the different devices that they're going to use at home anyway available, but they could also bring in their own device like you would at an Apple store, and they can actually transact business and have a guide to help them through that process, but actually they're hands-on with the software in filling out the application. So there's got to be a cultural shift within the organization as well as operational shift for us to be seen as a true digital opportunity. And it's not, I'm not saying it's easy.
No, I understand. So tell me about ELFCU. Did that shift start with yourself, or did it start with the CEO? Who's really responsible for driving this shift in internally at ELFCU?
Well, I think it always starts with the CEO. The CEO saw an opportunity that for us to have a very efficient business model. You know, anytime you're in financial, services, efficiency is kind of king. You know, how do we minimize operational expense? And so if you're not having to build branches, that is a huge efficiency right there. And if you can start to deliver this stuff digitally, the efficiencies there can actually be passed back on to the consumer. And so it was that vision to see that we've got to figure out how to do business without having to build branches. And so that's when she brought me into the organization to start to make this movement towards a more digitally savvy organization. We're just at the very beginning, though. You know, you asked me a minute ago about what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Yeah. You know, the technology is there, you know, through Skype, through FaceTime, through live chat, through video chat, through video conferencing, that you can actually have a face-to-face, real-world conversation, real-time, while sitting on your iPhone, and be able to transact business just like you're in a branch, have the same kind of conversations. Why are banks still opening branches? Why are credit unions still opening branches? Because it's their only sales channel. We need
That's what they used to, right?
Yeah, right. Well, some of them still are. There's still some branch expansion taking place.
I always say that in 5 years' time, the branches are left. We just remaining as support channels for digital, because the only time you go in there is when you couldn't get it done on digital. But to your point, I've got an 11-year-old son who is a Minecraft fiend. And I go in and watch him play Minecraft with his mob, as he calls them. These are his friends from around. He's got friends in New York and Connecticut that sort of get online. And these guys have FaceTime open, Skype open. They're strategizing and chatting to each other over these mediums while they're playing the game. It's really interesting to watch when you see that sort of interaction and how comfortable they are in that space. You realize, trying to actually get that a millennial that's grown up like that to a branch to interact with the person is going to be extremely difficult. It's like a challenge you're not going to win.
Yeah, right. We should quit trying to win that challenge. This is the truth. You know, I mean, there's some amazing technology out there today to kind of make this whole easy to do business with model become reality. You know, you've got Nuance out there that your voice is your password.
Voice recognition.
You've got CafeX, who has built this middleware that allows a customer service person to actually co-browse the website with somebody online in another country or in another state. And help them through a process like an account opening or a loan application. The technology is being developed now to take us to that point where just like your 11-year-old son, those conversations can be had real time, and those same kind of quality relationships, those people-to-person relationships, can be developed digitally. Just think of the Notre Dame linebacker that fell in love with a persona. It's absolutely possible to create a very bonded relationship digitally.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be easier and easier as we move forward.
Well, you know, what's the stats? One fifth of marriages start online today, and one fourth of divorces are attributed to Facebook. So, can I ask you then one question? Is what's your most successful engagement digitally to date as a credit union?
I think our most successful engagement is our life through our website. It's our life lessons. These are blogs that are written by subject matter experts, but they're written from a very personal and human voice. It's not about a product. It's not about, you know, a car loan. It's about, you know, my last car buying experience. Or it's about, I wrote one recently, and it was called The Mega Commuter, because I live in Littleton, Colorado, but I work in Indianapolis, so I have a pretty significant commute. It's about how does your lifestyle affect your financial life. Our model is to be a financial wellness provider. And so what we want to do is we want to tell stories that help other people with mentoring ideas and coaching ideas on how to feel financially or well, or how to attain financial wellness in their life. And then what we get is we get comments back from that, from real-time people that actually subscribe to that blog, and just like they subscribe to Breaking Banks blog, and comment back and help that story be told from their human perspective, not just our human perspective. And that's where the true value is where we're seeing true value. And we also use that inbound marketing tool. So if people want to capture or, you know, tell a story about their struggles with buying a car, we can actually kind of earmark that as a possible lead for a possible car loan in the future. But it's more of a pull marketing campaign than a push marketing campaign.
Yeah, it's very different engagement from the traditional funnel. So that's a really interesting story. Well, Rich, thanks for joining us. Stick around after the break because we'll get James back on and have a bit more discussion about where we see this going. You're listening to Breaking Banks. We're just going to have a quick break and we'll be back with James Robert Lay from See You Grow and Rich Jones, the SVP of Marketing and Business Intelligence at ELFCU. You're listening to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. Back in a moment.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kony's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking, with features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance. Kony apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit kony.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's kony.com/BK.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. I'm Brett King, your host, and we have with us on the show today James Robert Lay from See You Grow and Rich Jones from ELFCU. James, before the break, we were talking with Rich about some of the successful new players in this and where this stems from, who drives this within the organization. I noticed a post from you earlier this week, on Google+. On the Google, about four reasons banks and credit unions fear a digital marketing strategy. And, what is the fear here? Is it fear of the unknown? What is preventing these credit unions from making this shift to being able to really capture revenue digitally?
Yeah, so when we go in and we do a digital assessments for banks and credit unions, we document a lot of our findings. And there are these common patterns, common themes that we're continuing to hear of what might prevent success in a digital economy. There's really four things. There's just simply too much to do for these executives. There's too much on their plates for them to prioritize and focus. So digital continues to get put on the back burner, and banks, credit unions continue to build around branches and broadcast media. They're just not comfortable operating in a digital environment because of the branches and the broadcasts that they've grown up with since the Great Depression. A lack of knowledge, a lack of vision possibly. There could be a fear of loss of control, a loss of relevance, loss of power, loss of influence. And this is true, I've heard some of their ages. Older executives just might not care about the impact that digital will have, because they'll be gone within the next 5 years.
You know, when I present to CU boards and community banking boards, I'll get two sort of responses. One is, wow, this is exciting. This is interesting. You know, we're going to have to change. It's going to be a challenge. But, you know, the older guys sitting on the board, they'll often say that. They'll say, I'm so glad I'm retiring next year, so yep. I don't have to worry about this. It's like, you know, that's an issue in itself, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rich, you were alluding to this in your part of the segment. It's got to be not just an operational shift, but an internal cultural shift to make this jump to digital, yes?
Yeah, Rich, how long does that shift take to actually bed in?
It takes a long time, and some hard decisions have to be made. And they have to be made all the way from the top down. Yeah. Because if you're going to what I call, you create a digitized cultural transformation within an organization, then every time a customer touches your organization, they have to feel like the organization has been digitized. So, you know, taking tellers and having their number one measurement be, how many transactions did you do today, and did your cash drawer balance at the end of the day, is not going to create a digitized cultural transformation. They need to step away from balancing cash drawers. ATMs do a really good job of distributing cash, and you don't have to balance them at the end of the day. So, you know, they need to turn that teller transaction into a conversation that can be done equally online as it can be done in a branch. And so, to me, that is a huge piece of that. It takes a long time. You've got to hire the people that are number one digitally savvy, but you've got to hire the people that know how to create an online relationship and are not afraid of talking on video or talking on live chat, and are willing to do that and hire from that point forward and then train people. A lot of people you have in staff right now are not going to be able to make that transition. And so some hard decisions are going to be made in making that digital transformation happen with the culture.
So where do we end up in 5 to 10 years, guys? What's the landscape of the U.S.? Because the U.S. is quite a specific market. We've got, you know, if you look at financial services businesses, savings and loans banks, and then you look at credit unions, we're talking 12,000-13,000 institutions in the United States, where mm-hmm. when all of continental Europe has 4,500. So many economists looking at an industry specialist looking at the US would say we're well overbanked in terms of just pure number of banks or FIs in the US. Is this going to drive massive consolidation, because those organizations that can't shift will just end up being absorbed into others that can?
It has to. I mean, there's the report from Accenture that's saying 20-25% will not be here by 2020.
Yeah.
That's a huge shakeup right there. You look at even the investment in digital infrastructure, like I said before. It's just simply not there at some credit unions, at some community banks. So one of the recommendations that we make is sell a branch or two or 10 and shift those dollars into investing into digital assets. And like Rich said before, not everyone is open to hearing some of those extreme ideas, but I think now is the time.
I'll get more and more used to hearing of them, though, over the next couple of years. So.
They have to.
Yeah. Rich,
wouldn't you have loved to be sitting in the boardroom at Borders Bookstore?
Oh, yeah.
When the whole conversation was going on about Barnes & Noble and about Amazon, and to hear those conversations. I think those are the same conversations.
Absolutely.
That you, Brett, and James Robert Lay are hearing every day when you're talking to the directors of community banks and credit unions across the country. And that has to change. This whole idea that, you know, things are going good, don't fix it till it's broken, doesn't work anymore.
It's broken.
I think we have to become not fast followers, we have to become quick adopters. Yeah, now, I'm not saying you take an abnormal risk and jump into a new technology before it's had a good alpha and maybe beta test, but don't wait until 80% of the competition already has it and say, okay, it's safe, I can jump in now. We have to be much faster in that investment in technology. And James Robert Lay, you nailed it. Instead of investing in branches, if we made that same investment in bringing context to the online digital banking relationship, an organization could have a best-of-breed practice right now just by shifting how they're spending that money.
It's incredible when we look at this shift and sort of this mindset. You know, the borders discussion, I can bet that, you know, a year before borders went into Chapter 11, there's still a discussion going on in the boardroom about how we get people back in the bookstore. And, you know, how often are we hearing that conversation about, I think the branch is going to be around for a long time yet. Now, the real problem is, how do we get members back in the branch? You know, when that horse is already bolted. So, it's going to be a tough mindset. Who's at risk, Rich? You know, in terms of if there's a characteristics of a CU or a small community bank in the U.S. where you'd say this would put them at risk in my book.
I think what's going to put them at risk is just that unwillingness to make the investments to stay current and try to stay more on the edge of the digital economy, because it's coming, and the digital economy is going to drive, you know, your son's behavior. He's going to wake up to reminders. He's going to wake up to calendar notifications. He's going to be awakened every morning to opportunities on what he needs to do and where he needs to go and how he needs to spend his money and how he needs to do his banking at you know, all delivered mobily through technology. And so we have to, if an organization is not willing to aggressively start down that pathway today, they're going to be quickly left in the smoke, because the adoption rate of this is way too fast. You look at the adoption rate of mobile right now, mobile banking, it's just off the charts. Look at how long it took online banking to take hold, and look at how that's been just, it's a rocket ship right now with mobile banking. And if you're still debating, should we be there and can we tolerate the risk? You're at risk.
So, James Robert, tell me about CU Grow and what your focus is over the next year or so in terms of what you're working on.
You know, I think it's, to expand on kind of what Rich just said, our focus moving forward will be to continue to help banks and credit unions tell their story through digital marketing. But it comes down to something more than that, something that I wrote about a couple weeks ago, this term called helpology. And that's the use of technology, content, and context all combined together to provide proactive guidance, to provide proactive insight to consumers regardless of where they are in the buying journey. I think too many times banks, credit unions take a reactive approach to business development, to lead generation, but it's time to use technology, content, context to provide recommendations to help them through the buying journey. And a lot of that will come through the digital channel, but more importantly, it'll be humanized through the use of video content.
We talk a lot about Amazon in examples of contextual marketing and great relationship learnings and things like that. But you can see with their Amazon Fire, the mobile and so forth, they're really thinking about how to solve or how to serve someone in the moment more effectively. Who are best placed from a technology perspective in this space, in the banking space, to do this? Does this require a fresh look? Is that why the neobanks are going to be really and an advantage here, you think, because they've got this fresh approach to the technology?
Well, I think it does. You look at the traditional banking model being built around branches and broadcast, and then you look at the neobanking model being built around digital assets, the mobile device, for example. It's a completely different operating model. It's a completely different lead generation model. It's a completely just different mentality and way of doing business.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Yes. Well, my thoughts are what we're going to be doing next, and I think what other financial institutions need to really consider is how do you bring that context to the transaction, and so that we as the financial institution understand what is that consumer trying to do. See, this is where branches do have an advantage, and we've got to figure this out. If somebody walks into a bank right now and says, I want to make a deposit, a real savvy teller is going to say, well, what are you saving for? I mean, it's a very simple question because there's a lot of deposit choices. And if we're going to truly be enablers to helping our consumers be better money managers, then we need to make sure they're putting their savings in the right vehicle based upon what their goal is. Well, we need to bring those same kind of conversations. All the online banking modules right now are really excellent transaction machines. They're secure, they're fast, they're accurate. They do all of the stuff of transactions, but how do we bring context to those transactions so that we can actually be in front of the member, or at least make ourselves available to that member so that when they're making a banking transaction, we can actually help them become their Obi-Wan Kenobi in guiding that transaction to the proper vehicle or the proper tool to achieve their goals. You know, people call us all the time and say, I want a signature loan. Well, what they really want is they need cash flow. So yeah. How can we look at their entire loan challenge and figure out where we can discover some cash flow opportunities to a refinance or a rewrite into those loans so that we not only get them that short-term need that they have right now, but we also solve the longer-term problem of cash flow. I need a signature loan because I got more expenses than I got paycheck. Let's fix that problem and not just give them another loan to add on to that expense side of their own personal balance sheet. So for us, and where I think the banking industry needs to really look at is how do we bring context to those digital chains? And how Absolutely. Do we at least make ourselves available in that process?
Well, that's a great note to finish our discussion on, Rich. So, James Robert, how do people find out about CU Grow and get in touch with you guys?
Look us up online, www.cugrow.com. That's the letter C, the letter U, grow.com. Or hit me on Twitter at JRWLAY.
Fantastic. And Rich, ELFCU.org.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a great pleasure to have you guys on the show today. James Robert Lay from CU Grow and Rich Jones, the SVP of Marketing and Biz Intelligence out at Eli Lilly Federal Credit Union. Thanks for joining Breaking Banks today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
That's been another episode of Breaking Banks. We'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, stay disrupting. Keep disrupting. Thanks very much. Bye.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.